Welcome to Walking the BJJ Gauntlet, the official podcast of SJJ Zetland and SJJ Maroubra, a brisk 40 minutes or thereabouts of jiu-jitsu chatter. Today's guests are Lou and Lisa, a couple of wild blue belts who train at Zetland. Lou's been training for 3 years and her partner is the legendary Brazilian grappler Charles Negromonte, a man you've thrilled to in earlier podcasts. And Lisa, who is currently working on a PhD, has used her phenomenal analytical skills to get the blue upgrade in a year and a half. These are two formidable grapplers who lend a unique perspective to the game. Yeah, so Lou, do you want to talk me through your how you got the jiu-jitsu and your first experiences?
Yeah, sure. I was just shy of 3 years ago now, so why? I've been watching UFC for about 12 years and I thought, I'd really like
You're
to
You're a hardcore
actually,
UFC fan, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to know what's actually going on when they're on the ground and not just go, oh, like that looks all right. Like, yeah, get him. Yeah. I want to know what the submissions are and what it's called and all that. So I walked down to William Street CBD, SJJA. One of the most intimidating experiences because there's no natural light. It's in a basement. You walk down the stairs. You can smell the testosterone when you walk through the door. All blokes.
Does it smell good? Testosterone?
Oh, yeah. Just beautiful. and, yeah, it's pretty... It's intimidating at first because they ask you to do, you know, forward rolls or shoulder rolls and then technical stand-ups, all of which Lisa and I are like, oh, that's easy now. But when you first do it, you feel like a fish out of water or a newborn baby giraffe, you know, and you're just trying to focus on this and... But it gets so addictive. And then before you know it, you're doing training 2-3 times a week. And when you get that first stripe and you get that first recognition or something finally sinks in, you're like, damn, this is cool.
Were there any girls?
There was two other females that trained on and off. And they were a good support. But it's pretty much thrown into the mix straight away that it's a male-dominated environment. And I think it's a male-dominated sport, although now I love watching the females fight in different competitions, but you have to be pretty comfortable with that, I think. And if you get a good professor, they also will match you up with someone that's of appropriate size. But you do learn pretty quickly, especially as a white belt or fighting another white belt, that they're going to be a little crazy and throw their weight around. And some men, if they don't check their ego at the door, you're pretty much just defending. You won't get an opportunity to attack, and you yourself just don't want to get injured. You're just like, oh, fuck.
Did you have any situations early days of, you know, guys not leaving their ego at the door and you kind of going, why am I doing it? Like, or were you just like,
yeah, when they just use all their strength basically, and you like, I try and push and use my strength too and whatever technique I've learnt, but you can tell the difference between when the guy's gone, oh shit, she's just swept me, now I'm going to use more force now, because and that's when it becomes a bit frustrating, but you can't let that get to you.
You can feel it.
You can
moment.
Yeah. And you're like, yes, I've gotten under the skin now, I've got to keep going. Yeah. But it's great when you can spar with someone, especially other males, and they do have to dial down the strength a little bit. And I think that's only fair because we're often not at the same level of that, you know, strength or physical ability. But it's not to be docile and just lay there. Ooh. But I think it's important to have a good training partner. Any sex, doesn't matter.
It's kind of like for average-sized guys, i.e. me, 78 kilos or something.
Yeah.
Everyone's 90 or 100 kilos.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a similar thing. So you can have, you know, better technique, but you're just getting smashed.
Yeah.
You know, just getting smashed. Imagine what it's like to be a girl, you know, to be 60 kilos.
It's just, you're getting smashed all the time, but it's good. You're losing all the time, which I think is really good in this day and age, because without getting, you know, political and going into...
You can get political.
Yeah. it's all about, you know...
No jiu-jitsu great again.
Yeah, that's right. It's all about giving kids participation medals instead of, you know, you won, buddy, or sorry, you lost, you know. And you lose every day, all the time. But when you win, it makes it that much sweeter. And it's not always about the submission. Sometimes it's just about, oh, I just did that technique. or it's finally clicked in the back of my head, you know. It's not always about getting the win.
Do you have any specific instances of about to submit a guy and he just starts to go, oh my God, I'm about to get submitted by a chick, and then they've just skitzed out? Have you ever had that? Any specific?
Yeah, and they start like...
Once a month.
Bridging.
Really?
Yeah.
So just describe your sort of experiences with...
I think very similar. It was harder... Actually, it was easier when I was a white belt because the guys saw, oh, you're a white belt, it's okay.
So, when did you start?
I started about 15 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so December 2021. And I started because one of my old colleagues, she's a brown belt now, she got
Shout
me into
out
it.
Roxy.
Shout out Roxy. Very cool person. So my experience was very different. Like, she kind of held my hand through it. I couldn't do a forward roll when I started, so that was definitely intimidating for me. But first couple of weeks, every session I went to, she came with me and she'd partner up with me. So that was really helpful.
Did that help with your technique because you're rolling with someone who's so good?
Yeah, absolutely. Because she would know how to hold back her strength and to let me do the technique without hurting myself, without hurting her, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It is rare to find a training partner that good.
So you got your blue pretty fast, huh?
Yeah, I was lucky.
Yeah. No luck. You have to earn it.
I it got really addictive. I was doing 7 to 9 sessions a week at one point.
Wow.
So I think that's why. And now I've dialed back a little bit to fit in weight training.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Did you weight training here because of the gym?
No. I don't want to lift weights in front of the guys. No,
not in front of Johnny.
I like to switch it up. So there's a bit more gear at my gym.
Yeah. So how do you find rolling with so when the sparring part of the session class comes up, what do you look for and what are your experiences?
I would say blue belt and above, the guys are good. They're respectful and they know how to hold their strength. They know not to just muscle their way into submissions, which is really important. Because like Lou said, once they hit that switch or about to get something, they kind of just full force weight into it and you're like, okay, take the arm bar, take the choke, whatever, like, I don't want to get hurt, I don't want you to get hurt, so you give it up. But
it's also less fun though as well, and you, like, they get into it and you're like, we could just roll here and flow and get it into a good rhythm and both use techniques that we've learnt. But when you just drive so hard to get that submission and you're pushing all your weight, you're like, okay bro, cool, you've proved that you're stronger than me because you're 20 kilos heavier than me.
Well, I had a really good roll with Emmett today. He's a purple belt here. Anytime he'd catch me in a sub, he'd just release it, like, I acknowledged, okay, you got me there, and then we'd keep going, so nothing hurt, there was no stoppage. It's a really good flow roll, and I think it's hard for white belts because they don't have the technique there, and you do have everybody has an ego, right?
Do you think it's satisfactorily explained to white belts though? Because you basically just throw into a lion's den and say, go fight, and so you naturally
I think you're right.
Control it.
Well, I don't think initially it's explained to a white belt coming in, but you do have to say to them, hey, if you've got any ego, leave it at the door, because you're going to get found out. Like, if you get bashed, if you bash a little person, then the next lion's going to come through and take your head off.
But I think it kicks in and you see it because you go through it yourself and then you see it later on.
Yeah.
That you don't really know, think, oh, that's how I win. It's because it came from the heart. It came from the lion's heart, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
How big is the strength difference between men and women?
You're not going to go...
I don't know your weight, but if someone was your weight and your size...
How dare you, Jerry?
No, I'm
bang on 70. But I usually like to roll with blokes around my weight or maybe 10 kilos heavier.
Yeah.
The strength, honestly, I don't think you can... It really varies between person to person. You might get a male that weighs 10 kilos less than me. I remember I had one bloke at CBD and he, every time he'd smash me, and he was so petite, so small, and it turned out he trained Olympic weightlifting.
Wow.
And that made me feel way better afterwards. I was like, oh, okay, because, you know, you like Lisa, you train at the gym and you lift weights and you're like, this is going to help with my game, and it does massively. But then someone so much smaller, and that's fantastic. That's what jiu-jitsu is about as well. It doesn't matter how big you are or small you are, strong you are. It's about how you use your technique.
Mm. Yeah, so I'm 58 kilos. I would say up to about 80 kilos, it's okay. Yeah. Anyone over 80 kilos, nah, I got nothing on them.
Yeah.
Technique-wise, because we're only blue belts, there's still a lot to learn. But after a certain point, that weight difference, I think even if you are the same weight, some men, we're built slightly differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the advantage of flexibility? Because girls have more flexible hips.
So it's bizarre, isn't it? There's some maneuvers we do, or some chokes. I find it really hard. The man is fine to choke, but the female, their neck can be quite a lot smaller.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to get the right grips and do it.
And they're just smiling up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What are you trying to do?
Yeah, yeah.
But even some girls, they seem to be double jointed. Like, you know, you go to do an armbar or something and their flexibility or whatever is just unbelievable and you're like, oh okay, I won't teach this one because on this girl. So yeah,
but what about hip and spinal flexibility? Because you guys would be able to, you know, bang your legs over and someone could pin your legs over your head.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even kind of feel it, whereas guys kind of,
it feels like a nice stretch. Yeah. You're like, oh thanks mate. Yeah, that's also another benefit, I think.
It's a benefit if you don't want to get submitted, but I don't think, because you need the core strength and the leg strength to get out of that position anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge advantage until you can get out of the submission. Or
what about being able to throw your legs around kind of from any position? From bottom side control?
Yeah.
Do you find that?
Yeah, I like that. I think that's good.
There's reverse triangles from bottom side control?
So. Oh, yeah. It helps to have longer limbs in that situation for sure. But yeah, it just, I don't know, what are the other benefits of being a female? The flexibility.
I think the biggest thing is you build resilience.
Yeah,
and this isn't physical.
Like mental strength and toughness, I don't know, I always laugh, Charles and I discuss who's the tougher sex, females or males. I said, well, females are built to carry, bear children and give birth, and His macho ways are very different. He's got a very different opinion. I'll say that each to their own, but I don't know. I've rolled with some females and they're just so strong and so resilient, and they get back up and you just think, are you okay? You hurt yourself, whatever. Don't care, keep going.
I think with a guy, until you witness birth, you're like, I've got nothing on that. Like, I wouldn't last an hour sitting into labour, where, you know, women can go, I don't know, 2 days of just that pain. I just, like, much respect to women in that. So I think their pain threshold and resilience are a whole lot higher than men. So I'll bow down to that one.
Each to their own.
Yeah.
There's that female advantage thing, right? Because if you're a higher belt woman in a jiu-jitsu context where everybody is man, when everybody else is a male, or the majority are men, you have to work so much harder to get there.
Yeah.
So it's like in leadership, like in business, once you are there, you've done maybe 150% of the work to get there, so maybe you are 150% better.
Yeah, true.
And maybe that's why the women who stick with it that we see are so strong.
Yeah, I feel like they have to be more persistent as well. Just because you're often coming across more male partners and they're stronger. Like, you have a bit more of the odds stacked up against you. But when you do prove yourself and do, like, there's a brown belt from Crow's Nest, she came and rolled a couple of weeks ago. And I tried to use my strength. I could feel I was stronger than her. It was the easiest, smoothest roll for her. She just transitioned from submission to submission. And it was like watching two people dance. It was like, that's what it felt like anyway. She was so graceful in her approach. And that's someone, I think the professor said that she trains, you know, 3 times a day. I was like, wow, that is commitment. Yeah. And she's a mother as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's awesome. Yeah. I look up to that.
Do you find, because obviously the your work that you're in is also another male-dominated, you know, working in the construction thing. Yeah. Do you find you get any benefit? Like, do you find from jiu-jitsu you can take a lot of that bullshit, and you work in HR, so you kind of, I don't know, you see it from another angle?
Yeah, I think so. Like, it's
Did you find you can you handle yourself a lot better? Like, because you out of anyone I knows the guys, you know, when a guy's talking, like when the boys, you know, boy talk. Do you know what I mean? So we'll.
That's from being born in the red dirt from Kalgoorlie, mate.
You're from Kalgoorlie.
I was, yeah. Can you cut that bit out?
I'm from Perth, so I've been to Kalgoorlie.
Yeah. So, oh, for sure. I think so. I think it depends. You come into this.
You're a coal miner's daughter? I mean, a gold miner's daughter?
I am, yeah. My dad's a metallurgist.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Got a lot of good memories from then. But
is that why you dressed in so much lavish jewellery?
Yeah, that's right. All real gold. I wish. Now I think you come into the gym and it's male dominated, and it's usually your professor. I've never had a female professor before, although we had that one seminar here with Livia. And that was, we were discussing after. I was like, man, that was awesome, because it was from a female's perspective, and the way she explained things, like, hats off to all my professors. They're awesome, and they, you all have your own little quirks in how you teach. Some better than others, not naming any names. But when a female to another female comes in, I think it's that level of detail. We're quite detail focused, and it was made all the difference. But getting back to the male domination thing, I think it's you do get used to it, and you get more comfortable, and you see people come out of their shells as well, like male and female. And it becomes, this gym is fantastic, SJJA Zetland, and the one CBD I used to train at. There's zero, I couldn't name you one person here that's got a bit of an ego, or that's nasty to roll with or whatever. Everyone here is super friendly. I have got other girlfriends who have, they come from other gyms around Sydney, and they, unfortunately, they've said some of their gyms have, they go, we don't roll with so-and-so because they're always too rough or whatever.
But if you're a bit of a dick, you kind of get pushed out here.
Yeah.
Like, they know.
Every gym's got, like, I'll say every gym has, like, we've had guys that we've had to say, hey, like, ease up, or just beat it. Like, we can't have that here.
Yeah.
Like, I was rolling with a guy the other day, and he'd been pulled aside because he goes pretty hard. It was funny, he was snorting. He was snorting out of his nose. He was trying so hard. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
I mean, each to their own, yeah. I think it comes back to that thing. Yeah, you need it. I don't think white belts are sat down and you're like, okay, you're coming into a completely different environment. Often it's highly competitive. They probably haven't done a competitive sport since they were in primary school or high school. They're a fully grown adult. It's a very different environment to come into, and obviously you're like, oh shit, I don't want to lose. Like,
and you have zero technique too.
Zero
so
technique.
If you don't use strength, you just be laying there like a floppy doll.
Yeah, and you panic, and you're like, oh, I've got to try. And then once you get over that, it's so much fun, and you're like, oh, okay, yep, you got me. Like, that's fine. And then when you get someone else, and you actually put the technique in place that you learned, and you either submit them or you just have a good role, it's so satisfying.
Mm.
I'm some of the roles Lisa and I have had at the end, be like,
do you guys get savage with each other?
Oh, absolutely.
So I've seen some girls getting so savage.
Sometimes we get super savage, but neither of us will submit each other, but we'll say, damn, that was so good.
No, you'll submit me.
we got so close.
Is that when you put in your extra 13 kilos?
Yeah, that's when I'm like, okay, pop the weight on, let's go. Yeah, that's when I ignore all my previous advice. But yeah, I remember one day Charles was saying at the end of the class, and he was saying how he started when he was 15 and he's now 34. You might edit that part out. It's a bit sensitive about his age. And he said it's the only career he's had. He's super passionate and he studies it every day, and that's his thing. He said, for you guys, pretty much everyone here, no one's a professional athlete. You guys, most of you wake up at 5 a.m. and catch the train or the bus to work, or even some of you go to the gym or do F45 or whatever it is and catch a bus to Zetland. You get changed, you come in and you train for an hour or 2 hours, and then at the end you do 15 minutes sparring. He's like, my hat goes off to you, because that's harder than being an athlete and training every day. He said, I get to do what I'm passionate about and what I love. And I was like, damn, he's actually so right. We go to work and we have the stress, the constant emails, the phone calls, the Teams meetings, whatever it is, or you're a labourer, so it's even more strenuous on your body. And then you come in here, and I think 90% of the time everyone puts in as much effort as they can, and I think that's what makes the sport so addictive and rewarding. You get something back at the end of it. You're like, oh, I don't know about you, Lise, but at the end of it you feel you're a bit more zen. You're like, ah,
cool. Now, you get your aggression out on the mat.
You get your aggression out, whatever the shit happened that day, that weekend, whatever. And then it's almost like the second part of the day starts for you, and you like go home and you're more chilled, and you're kind of like, right. Yeah.
But I will say, when I first started like going to sessions, I would get knots in my stomach. I'd be like super nervous about going, and then afterward it was always the best feeling.
Yeah.
It's always
never regret it.
Yeah.
No regrets. Yeah.
Have you heard that thing where people like every 5 kilos is equivalent to a stripe?
Yeah, I've heard that. I think it's bullshit.
No, is it real?
What's that?
Oh, in terms of weight disparity.
I think it was Hannah Gracie had that thing where they came up with 10 years as a belt. So if someone's 10 years younger than you, that's a belt. If someone's 10 pounds heavier than you, that's a belt as well. But I think that's kind of bullshit.
I don't know about that, yeah. Everyone's strength is so varying. And what like people who train outside of jiu-jitsu, I noticed that if you roll with like Inder or someone who does bulk CrossFit, she's not only strong, but the endurance will finish a 5-minute roll. There's not a bead of sweat dropping down her head.
Keep it in mind that those girls who are doing that, they're already trained the 6 a.m. class and they've come in for this class, or they've
Freaks.
Done the 5 o'clock class and come and done the 6 o'clock class.
Yeah.
Insane.
What advice do you have for guys rolling with girls? Some specific advice.
Match strength as much as you can.
Because it is a finessing thing to try and find that sweet spot.
Go at their pace, be respectful, but don't hold back too much, because they're there to learn as much as possible.
And then it's condescending if you're hardly trying.
It is, and that is frustrating. I've had that happen to me a couple of times, and you're like, dude, you need to put in effort.
Yeah, you're like a floppy doll.
Yeah, you need to have be a good training partner, and you want your training partner to be good.
So blokes like, Jesus, you can't win. You don't try and you get hassled and you try and you...
It's hard. Yeah, like Lisa said, it's a bit of finesse. Just go at their pace and have fun with it too. Like, it's not all serious. We're here to learn something new and it's a great community to be in.
I think the onus is on the person to communicate what they're looking for in a role, if they have injuries, what their goal is in the sport.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
I usually prerequisite, I'll ask anyone I roll with any injuries. And then
so
I'll focus
that
on that,
thing.
Right? Yeah. Is it bad rib? Right. But just as a courtesy, you know, because we all get injured, and my toe is broken right now. Like, it's awful. And but it doesn't matter. You keep coming back. It's a contact sport. That's what people realise. And you will, it's not a question of if, it's when. Like, everyone will get injured, but it's not. I don't know. I'm not selling it, but it's...
We've got day jobs you want to walk out
after
the session.
Yeah, 100%.
But also, it's not... It's okay. Like, I think it's a bit character building. It's not like... It would be awful if you did your ACL or something like that, but just be careful and be respectful to the others, and don't do any crazy shit you've seen on YouTube and then expect to...
What about walking around? Because you invariably get black eyes and bruising. What's it like as a woman walking around, particularly with your boyfriend or husband or partner?
They get a
lot of dirty looks.
Yeah, so what's it like when you're walking around with black
eyes? Especially if they got cauliflower ears.
No, we shouldn't.
No, but seriously, it is a thing. Like, if you've got a black eye and you go to work, there's questions would be asked.
You've got bruises all over your neck. On your
I get legs. Bruises on the legs and all that all the time. But as soon as you're happy to say, oh, I'm doing jiu-jitsu, but you do get asked like, is everything okay at home, and like blink 3 times if it's no, like.
What about when you get the submissions from chokes and you get like hickeys on your neck?
I might have some still from yesterday.
Yeah, you sure that's from jiu-jitsu? No.
Is it helping you come home with hickeys on your neck?
No,
he's very understanding. He's a good man. Nobody has ever approached us or been aggressive with my partner when we're out in public.
Yeah.
But if they had, I would step in and just say, hey, look, it's not what you think it is.
Yeah. we love each other.
Yeah. If anything, he's the one that you should be worried about.
Oh, that is funny. I almost broke my nose once, unrelated jiu-jitsu injury. It was through a it was at a party and it was blood and bruising all around here. And then, yeah, my partner said, we can't go out for dinner the next night because people will look at him and go, you did this. And I didn't even think about that. I was like, no, I want to eat Greek food, man. I've looked forward to this all week. And he said, no, like, I'm super puffy. And there is that stigma that comes with it. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. Didn't Uber Eats will do.
Yeah, because they're both big boys.
Yeah.
So the disparity in size and kind of height and stuff, people will look and make judgments.
Yeah, because you're kind of required now to, you know, 20 ask. Years ago, if you just sit and go, yeah, he bashes his chick.
Yeah.
But now you would be...
It's the other way around now. Yeah.
So what is the, both of you, I guess, Lou first, what's your sort of jiu-jitsu future?
Oh, I think just keep training as frequently as I can. It's a part of a routine now. It's not just like in the normal gym. And it's a place you come to. It's not a chore. I look forward to coming here. And I've started at the end of last year coming to train the children as well. So do a couple of kids' classes, which I just absolutely love. That's a whole different world. You just seeing their little moves and them get the technique. Some of them are so into it.
Yeah.
Others you need a bit more encouragement, but that's like with everything. And I think just keep it a part of your routine. One day, yeah, sure, it'd be awesome to have a black belt. And I'm grateful I started in my 20s, so hopefully maybe have one before I'm 40. That'd be pretty sweet. But just keep it as a routine. Like one of Charles's favorite sparring partners, Mauricio, Roger's father, he's in his mid to late 60s and he rolls every day a coral belt. Amazing. And his strength and tenacity, flexibility, everything, mental strength as well, I think is awesome. I think it's such a great sport.
You really?
Oh, yeah.
He gets birds.
Yeah, he's a ladies' man. Yeah, yeah. It's just the Brazilian in him.
That's why he's so flexible. It's not the
yeah, yeah, that's why.
What about you, Lisa? What's
I think it's a long-term project. Yeah, I think it's a part of life now. And I'm in academia, so I'm kind of chasing being a full professor in my career and then maybe becoming a professor here. So see which one I get first.
Yeah, but hats off to you, all the studying you do, and then you come in and roll so many times a week. Like, that's
fun.
Yeah, 7 or 9 times a week's a lot.
I don't do that anymore because I'm fitting in weight sessions, so I do maybe four.
Yeah, still though, so good.
It's worth it.
You just make it part of your routine, I think. And then also training at other gyms, it's eye-opening for sure. I did it. I was in Perth for 6 weeks over Christmas and went and trained at a competition gym there. And that I think it's a unspoken rule that when someone new, an outsider comes in, you
smoke them.
Yeah, you do. And they gave me a white rash guard and a white belt because I didn't have any of my stuff. So I was like, awesome. Like, yeah, so I'm going to go in. And it was, I beat one dude and he was like, I submitted him. And he's like, shit, have you done this before? I said, oh, it's just my second week, man.
Everyone does that. Everyone sandbags up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At the end of the class, I said, nah. I've done a couple more classes than that. But it's so good, I think. And you get tested and you go to compound. It's great to go in against other women and other men at different gyms. They all have different curriculums and
you take that technique back to your home gym.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's stuff that no one's learned. You know?
Yeah. You get to see where your level's at when you go to other gyms. Okay, so like you said, you go to compound. Mm. Other people here will go to Maroubra or they go to the Crow's Nest. You got like as a gym owner, you've got to be open and happy for your members to want to go to other gyms. Don't just be like, oh. You have to be here. I'm happy for anyone.
So that whole Creonte thing is done, you think?
If you want to train another gym to make your jiu-jitsu better,
yeah,
do it. And I see a lot of guys who want to go do that wrestling. They go to compound, do wrestling or whatever, no-gi. They want to go out west to train with the guys out there because they're at an extremely high level.
Yeah.
So
whatever you're just gonna do to add to your 100%. Game plan, wrestling, judo, lifting weights, whatever you can do outside of jiu-jitsu and then facilitate that in is pretty cool.
It's a good business model. Yeah. The more you get into it, the more you're going to keep members.
Yeah. And that's why I've introduced another coach from a John Jack Machado, you know, academy to come teach whilst Charles is away to learn, you know, their way of teaching. So I don't want to take this away from the girls.
No, take it away. What about... Yeah, go.
So are you girls... What's your...
you accepted to get in the cauliflower ears. So it's like your ears are looking pretty good at the moment.
No, my ears are alright. Although this piercing, if this gets ripped out, that'd be...
I think I'd just drain it.
I think I'd drain it.
You guys haven't even got close to cauliflower ears.
That come. I feel like that's more wrestling, like when you constantly being aggressive. Maybe we're just more careful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the thinness of the pinna, which is the outside of the ear, maybe.
Yeah.
They don't poke out as much.
I'm definitely not going out of my way to try and do it. I know some of, Charles has said some of his students are, they go out of their way to try and get it because they want that look, that hardcore look.
Jesus.
But I just think...
It's one of the few sports that makes it uglier. Yeah. It makes it so ugly.
Yeah.
Boy, ugly as you
box head, the nose.
Yeah, fucks your nose up.
It's not pretty, yeah.
No. It was weird coming from surfing. You get a tan, your hair goes blonde and everything.
Yeah.
Coming here and you just get all sweaty and pimply and ugly.
Yeah, all the pimples.
Tan gets ripped off. You're rubbed on the thing. Bald spots from your head getting rubbed on the mat.
Yeah, what's it called? The mat burn.
Oh, mat
yeah,
burn.
Mat
oh,
burn's
yeah.
the worst. Oh, you got that spray for staph infections.
Yeah.
Like, there's a pretty gnarly side to it as well.
Oh,
making sure people have a shower before they use the ice bath. Just, yeah, things like
That's just common decency.
That is, yeah, yeah.
So what about just advice from both of you for women who are thinking, maybe I'll get into jiu-jitsu, I see the big fancy gym here in Zetland. Should you walk in? Is it for you? What advice do you have?
I think jiu-jitsu can be for everyone and you get out of it what you put in. And I've recommended it to all my friends. I've asked so many of my female and male friends to come in and give it a go because it's so different outside the realm of what we're doing in our everyday lives, from working to just training at a gym and you go home, sit on your phone or whatever it is you're doing. This pushes you physically and mentally to limits that you thought you didn't know existed, you know? And then it's now, Lisa and I just said, oh, this is us done now, like this will be part of our routine, which I think is pretty major for two women in their 30s.
32 today.
Yeah. Oh, today.
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I was like, oh, wild stab in the dark. But that's pretty good, like pretty big to say, you know, that's us done and put in. So I think it does nothing but good for your mental health and your physical, and I would recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
And Lisa, as you're saying, someone in academia who spends a lot of time probably looking at computers.
Yeah, reading, being a nerd. What does Johnny call this? Revenge of the nerds. Is it? It can be hard to get into. I'd say do your research if you don't have a huge training background or if you don't really know what martial arts is like, what a full contact sport is like. Do your research. Pick the right gym. That's really important.
Most gyms do free trials.
Yeah.
Come in.
Yeah.
Try it out.
Do more than one trial.
Yeah.
100%.
Really communicate what you're looking for, and they'll be honest with you if they can offer that.
Read the waiver before you. So when you read that waiver, really absorb that. Like any injury that can happen, you know, that's on you, and that's highly likely to happen. And it is close contact. You need to roll with other people who some people stink. Or whatever it is that you don't...
Oh, the stinkiness sometimes.
Yeah.
Meat pie breath, do you get that? And weed breath, people who smoke weed before class.
Weed breath is the worst.
Cigarettes.
Oh, man.
Or just put a little deodorant on. Is that too hard? Or I've rolled with some tradies who'd come in and they take their boots straight off just go on the mat.
No, tell them to shower off.
Oh, boy. But you know what? It's all part of it and you do get over it. You just have to. That's part of it.
Great.
Lisa's like, I'm not getting over that.
No. If they stink, I'm like, nah, dude.
Yeah.
Go shower. Wash your gi.
It is hard in jiu-jitsu, though. You're like, when you first come in here as a new person, especially female, and there's a big, sweaty guy sweating all over you, you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But then again, the sweaty guy's just like, oh, my God, I'm sweating all over this person.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how I
They usually bring a towel. It's awful when they're in mount, and then you open your mouth to say something, and the sweat drips in there.
I
fell
my eyeball the other day.
Oh,
Jesus.
You're like, this is
and it's usually the stinkiest person is the sweatiest person.
And we still love it.
Yeah.
We still love it. There's
so
just an adjustment period.
Remember, that sweaties, it's a given.
Yeah,
but please brush your teeth.
Wash your geese. Oh, yeah, wash your geese. Dog.
That was his belt.
Oh, is that his belt? Yeah.
Wash your belts.
It's trying to be old school.
Well, some people don't wash their belts at all, yeah. Staff is
That's
everywhere.
When I washed my belt was when Dog had to wash his belt.
Yeah. I encourage
Yeah.
I would say wash your belt. It's like, you know, there's a thing,
old jiu-jitsu thing where don't wash your belt.
Let it become black naturally, huh?
Yeah. Wash the thing. It's
you're not
so
gonna lose your power.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks so much, Lou. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks, Derek.
Yeah,
thanks,
awesome.
Troy. Yeah.